Hey, good morning. Good to see you guys. You know, there's something we were talking about in the back. I'm so spoiled because I get to see you as a family in as a whole. I wish you could have this perspective of you, right? Because wherever you're sitting, there's somebody's hair in front of your face. And I get to see, like, as a big chunk of our family all at the same time. I begin to watch the Holy Spirit move across and begin to see him ministering to all of you. And it is such a treat to be able to have a front row seat to the miracles and connections of God. And I feel so spoiled about it. I don't ever take it for granted that we get to be together as a family, that we get to grow together as a family, that we get to support one another. And I just want to encourage you that all the gifting that God has given you, wow, we need you. We need you so much to be able to be who you are, do what God's built you to do, wherever you're at, because that is going to change the world. Again, I want to be the one that champions out. We don't go to church, we are the church, amen? And so therefore, we get fired up, praise God, and then we're going to get right back out there and go do it. So we're going to do that again this morning. You're going to need a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the seat in front of you. That'll make it a little easier. Give you the page number on where to turn to when it's time. But for the rest of you, could you just have your Bible nearby? It's very helpful learning-wise to follow along with me. Watch me tear it apart so that you begin to almost absorb that training and then you do it on your own. My whole goal is for all of us to be able to know the Word of God and how to analyze it well enough that you do the exact same thing at home. Every time you open up the Word of God, you start to analyze it and you can begin to pull things out and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So what we're gonna do, the other thing I guess you'll need is the fill in the blank, which is on the bulletin that was handed to you at the front door. If you're a note taker, grab one of those. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna be jumping back into our series in the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome in the first century AD. We are in part 12 of our Blueprint for Breakthrough series. And I want to talk about the benefits of doing it God's way, but I want to talk about it in a practical sense. Normally, when we talk about the benefits of being a Christian, we're going to talk about spiritual dynamics. We're going to talk about heavenly realities. We're going to talk about future blessings. All those are true. But what I want to talk about is that there are also practical benefits to doing what God tells us to do. And I think we miss out on understanding that premise. I think that I personally, as a teacher, tend to lean away from talking about rules, regulations, holy living, that kind of stuff, because I'm always afraid of things going towards legalism, right? That somebody would leave with a shame rather than a conviction. So we prayed about that this morning. That all of us would be able to have a, oh my goodness, my eyes are opened. I see what God was trying to do, and I would love to do more of that, as opposed to, pastor keeps talking about how we need to live different, and I feel terrible about myself. One is from the enemy, one is from the Lord, right? So we were praying about that. But what we're gonna be talking about is, are there practical benefits to doing it the way the Bible says? I believe the answer, and I'm super biased, I believe the answer is absolutely yes, 100%. But I wanna talk about what they are. So here's what we're gonna do, and I'm gonna ask for a little bit of feedback here in a moment. And that is, as you think about your life, you know darn well that there is a tension between what you want to do and what God wants you to do, right? I mean, I think we all feel that tension. Have there been good examples you could call out when you actually chose to do it his way, right? Like, there was options, but you said, you know what? I think I'm going to do it God's way. Have you seen blessings, practical blessings in your life from doing that? And if so, here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to call out some of those. What have those realities been for you? What good things did you get? Just share. Give me one. Freedom. Freedom, marriage, what? Answer to prayer. What else? Healing. Restoration. Money. What was this one? Peace. Yeah. Yeah. Transformation. Absolutely. All these things are true, right? Because when we do it God's way, it aligns with who we are, what we were built to be. It is built for our benefit and our blessing. It doesn't come with kind of fine print damage. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't come with danger. It actually comes with health. Now, I want to explain a little bit about my personal life and to share with you the benefits I've seen. So let's begin by talking a little bit about how I am normally. So when I talk about who I am naturally, that would be the flesh side of me. If Jesus was not a part of it, kind of what is my personality? What would I be like? So here's the thing. You have now been in church. A lot of you have been with me for a really long time. You get a little bit of my vibe, right? So without Jesus, I am extraordinarily gifted at being a train wreck. Like, I don't want to brag, but I can wreck some life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can make some really bad decisions. And what I mean by that is, so I'm a natural people pleaser. Can people pleasing really get you in trouble? Yeah. I'm a natural partier, right? Like, that's just my bent, man. I just would rather hang and have fun and screw around. I'm an experienced guy. I love variety. I love doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I love that because it gives me a dopamine hit, right? So I love that. I got an addictive personality. Right? An addictive personality, I have a lean towards compulsion. If I really like something and it makes me feel good, I want to do more of it, right? And you're like, well, that's just being a human. No. Hold on. I get addicted to stupid stuff. Like, I'm addicted to collecting. I'm addicted to sports cards. I'm addicted to comic books. I'm addicted, my wife calls it hoarding, whatever. Anyway. And you realize it's a bit of a problem when you're like, I probably shouldn't buy this. Have you ever had that feeling, right? And you're like, cha-ching, you know, and you're like, that was a terrible choice. Okay, so all this is true of me. I'm also a people lover, and I really struggle with, like, just personal boundary, you know? And so you go, man, dude, you could just be a train wreck. That is fact, right? Now, let me explain what my life has looked like. So I was trained up to believe the fear of the Lord. I was trained up to believe that if you can do it God's way is always best. I was trained up to believe that I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. I was trained up to believe that there are ramifications and consequences to choices, right? So I was trained that way. So let me give you this scenario on what happened. Take what I normally would have been, and honestly, the role modeling of my dad to me was not great, right, in this regard. But here's the deal. I met Susie on May 8th, 1993. I got married to her on January 7th, 1995. From the moment I met her, I have been faithful 100% of the time. Right? Up to this, we hallmark it. That is not what's normal to me. That is making a decision and a choice to be a man of loyalty. That is a choice to being a man of faithfulness. What that has allowed me is something I would not have normally, which is a healthy family. My daughters can respect me in that way, and I didn't hijack my life. We continue to be married and build a home together, not just be roommates, but we continue to have a relationship because I had to keep saying no to the temptation of self, no to the temptation of whatever I wanted to do in my own flesh, and say yes to God's way. Now, again, only because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the prayers of the saints have I had any shot at being able to continue to be married. Again, in my family, I'm the only one not divorced. I'm surrounded by divorce all the time. That's the only shot I had. It's not normal to me. But I chose God's way, and I have been shocked at the blessings that come from doing it His way. Now, here's another one. Y'all know that I've had panic disorder since I was 6. You know what a very common way is to deal with what I would call irrational anxiety, the normal way is to self-medicate. So there's a lot of people that they're like, man, I am just constantly, I can't stop, I can't shut my mind off, I can't do this, I can't do that. And that's where drugs and alcohol get involved, because it's a way of self-medicating. Now, I was told in the scriptures that I need to walk it out with the Lord as hard as it is, and I need to do things in a certain manner. I don't get to just self-medicate, right? So what I ended up doing is I have done as many healthy things as I can to try to compensate. I've become a man of deep prayer. But on top of that, when it came to medication that my body needed just to make it through the day, I needed to go through a doctor and have high accountability. Do you understand what I mean? Those are things about how do you do it God's way so that I don't end up having to become more addicted to more things, right? That I know that if I started down a route, I would not go well. It's not gonna go well. So I gotta avoid that at all costs just to keep my head in the game. Same thing, I walked into Bridgeway, it wasn't Bridgeway at the time, I walked into this place, October of 1997. Never walked out. Every time I have been here, I've never intentionally harmed this church. I have never taken from the church. I was trained by the Lord and warned by the Lord. You do not get to use this for your own selfish benefit. I don't care about your placement. I don't care about how you're handling things. I don't care what role people give you. This is my house. Don't mess with my house. Right? So I have consistently said, Lord, what do you want? And I'm doing my best. It doesn't mean I do it right. It doesn't mean I do it perfectly. But I know darn well, if I do it my way, we're gonna screw this whole thing up. Yet here we are 29 years later, still rising as a church. That's unheard of. I was raised in the 80s and scandal was the norm for every pastor. I always assumed I was going to lose my ministry. I am totally capable of wrecking everything in one night. But yet God has kept me in there, and the Holy Spirit has encouraged me and said, hey, kid, I need you to take this route, not this route. And wherever I have said yes, there is blessing to it. And I just need us to understand there is a practical reality that I can lay my head on a pillow at night and I'm not trying to manage lies. That I can lay my head on my pillow at night and I'm not living in regret. I can lay my, and the only thing that I have to worry about, praise God. What I have to worry about is where I messed up, where I unintentionally hurt somebody, normal human things. But what I don't, if I go God's way, is walk with a heavy heart. I don't have to walk with a heavy heart. And so my encouragement is that we cannot just choose our way and see how it goes. I just think the consequences of that, the ramifications, what I see in my family line, what I see in my friends here at church, is there's too much pain. And I'm just asking you, the more we can say yes to the Lord, the more blessed we will be. The fill in the blank on the sheet in front of you is holy living leads to good fruit. Holy living leads to good fruit. Think good things coming out in your life. You see, God's always been concerned about our holistic health, meaning everything about us being integrous, being healthy, being strong, and being whole. Unfortunately, the enemy has really gotten in our heads. And he keeps using the same lie that he's always used. And the lie is this. Dude, there is a lot the world has to offer and you are gonna miss out. Man, that thing will throw you every time. Again, I'm an experienced guy. I love new experiences. I love being with new people. I love all that stuff. So there's gonna be a bent leaning that way. When the enemy is like, dude, you don't wanna miss out. You gotta try this, try this, try this. That's in my head all the time. And yet, I know it to be a lie because I've watched it over and over and over. Scripture told me he lied like that in the Garden of Eden, and he's never stopped lying like that. But God knows the cost. He's trying to stop us from hurting ourselves. There's some suffering we cannot avoid in this life. disease and death and loss. We can't avoid that. But we can avoid self-destruction. We can avoid when we make poor choices and create self-drama. We can control, and I feel like the Lord's going, hey, you got enough suffering, kid. I don't want you to hurt anymore. Can we please calm it down? And unfortunately, the enemy's chirping on our ear going, dude, that kind of lifestyle is boring, man. What are you doing? Man, what, you're just gonna do the same thing over and over again, right? You're just gonna be married to the same person all the time. You're just gonna, what, just keep trying to be, oh, you're consistent. That sounds lame, right? Especially in my head. But yet, when I've been consistent, when I've been faithful, I've seen a benefit. And that is because it is the way of God. I've always thought of sin like junk food. Yep, that's always been my kind of go-to analogy. Sin is like junk food. You get the sugar hit. You get the dopamine rush, but you're gonna pay for it later. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right, let's be very specific. All right, so I have a particular weakness, and it's called donuts. All right, so we need to talk. We need to talk and be honest with each other. Okay, so the den of iniquity is called AMPM. I don't know if you've been into any of those. Anyway, they also sell gas. Okay, so now I normally don't ever go to AMPM. Why would I want to pay $15 for a soda? Anyway, I don't normally go in there, but when I'm on a trip, when I'm on the road, you know what I'm talking about, that you got to get some trash coffee and you got to get donuts, right? Like, I'm talking about the little crumble ones. You know what I'm saying? There's like 8 in a sleeve. Right, and I get those, man, and I'm just fired up. I know what's coming. Before it hits my lips, my brain is like, yeah! Okay, so then I eat that donut, and the film that is on my tongue afterwards lets me know that was created in a lab. Amen? There is no real food in any of that. It will cost me later. Right? Donuts will kill you, all right? And the thing is that in my mind, right? I mean, this is how I've always thought about sin. Never be shocked that you're tempted. Come on, man. Hey, here's something that sounds super fun. Why would you not want to do that? Of course you want to do that. You just can't do that, right? But you're not shocked that you want to do it. Of course you do, right? And so the idea is that you just have to think through the ramifications of it. What's going to be on the other side of that choice? And I feel like the idea is you go, I'll deal with it later. I need the hit now. Now, I think we all understand that what's sustainable is not donuts. What's sustainable is that you would actually eat a balanced meal, but that requires effort. And usually we burn ourselves out so much that we go, I'm too tired to make a real meal. I need to have a shortcut. That's the same thing in sin. What we need to do is have a healthy lifestyle that is through natural rhythms in life. We have to have plenty of celebration, plenty of fun, so that we are not so desperate for sin. You know what I'm talking about? Because then the craving's too hard. And then you're gonna cave, and you don't have the energy to be able to do the good thing or the healthy thing. We just go for it, and sure enough, you're gonna pay for it. You're gonna pay for it some way, somehow, right? You don't just get away with it. And this is the important thing about following the Lord. Where we're at in the series, as I said, we're in part 12. And last time we were on this series, we had an incredible and amazing teacher show up. His name was Samuel Gordon, Pastor Samuel Gordon. Can we appreciate him from Trinity Life? Pastor Gordon, Dr. Gordon, he is one of my buddies. I've got a chance to minister with him for years and years and years, and I love when you get to meet my friends. He is such a put-together, amazing man of God. I was listening to his message after the fact. He was dropping bombs one after the other, just so good, and he has such a statesman-like vibe to him, right? What a great man of God. So we were certainly blessed. And what he was teaching on had to do with grace and what are the challenges of having grace in our lives. So here's basically what his passage taught. Just because we live in perpetual grace as children of God doesn't mean that we are free to go live in sin. We aren't those people anymore. We've died to that old way of thinking, that old way of living. We have been raised with Jesus in a new life. Just as the visual of baptism is dying down into the water and raising a brand new person, we have a new identity. We have been set free from sin. Death no longer has dominion over us. And we can now live for Jesus in a way that we were never able to before. And if you are brand new to Christianity, let me just explain briefly again what grace is and why it's so scary and dangerous. Because what grace really means is that when we realize that we need God and we surrender our lives to Him, we let Him rescue us. Basically, He's rescuing us from ourselves, from our sin. He says, kid, I don't want you to die and be away from me. So I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. He's going to die on the cross for your sin. He's going to pay with his own blood, actually, the penalty that you would owe. But he's going to cover your record. He's going to purify you, and you're going to be washed clean of all your sin. He's going to purify out your spirit, make it clean and empty, and then the Holy Spirit is gonna come and dwell and fill it up so we don't have a void anymore, and he's gonna fill up our lives, and we are a walking temple. And in that day, he will make us children of God. To be a child of God has this significant ramification. When you're a child, you'll always be that child. When you got kiddos, they're always your kids. What happens if they mess up? Still your kids. What happens if they end up in jail? Still your kids. What happens if they hate your guts? Still your kids. And that's the reality of living in perpetual grace. We are part of the family of God. Now, we're not going to sin out. Now, we're not going to make mistakes or choose badly, and God's gonna go, I don't want you as a child anymore. His faithfulness is greater than our faithlessness. His ability to save is greater than our ability to sin. Y'all tracking with me? And so what this reality is, you now have freedom and room to move, grow, progress, sort stuff out without having hanging over your head the fear of annihilation. You now have an ability to stretch your muscles and try to figure stuff out and walk with God, and you're not always afraid of being rejected because he loved you before you were a good guy, and he's gonna love you when you're not a good guy. When you realize that reality, it's very tempting, and the enemy's gonna chirp at you. You should take advantage of that. If doing bad stuff doesn't kick you out of the family of God, then aren't you allowed to do X, right? That's that whole idea of, well, if I'm gonna be forgiven anyway, it doesn't matter what I do, I'll just ask for forgiveness. This is a very slippery slope in a very tricky place. So Paul the Apostle said, this is such a big deal, I gotta actually address it twice in a row. He addressed it with Pastor Samuel Gordon in the last passage. He's gonna reiterate it again. Let's go a little bit deeper. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 15? Romans chapter 6, verse 15. In the Bibles under the seat in front of you, it's page 943. 943. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. He starts with the blatant statement and question. What then? Are we to continue to sin because we're not under the Mosaic law, but now under grace? By no means. So he's like, listen, I get it. I know the temptation. I know the idea that you're going, man, but I can still be with God. Does that mean that we can do whatever we want? The answer is no. It doesn't mean sin doesn't have consequence. Pastor Gordon said it this way, grace does not permit sin, it empowers change. Grace doesn't lower God's standards, but raises our capacity to meet God's standards. Again, dropping bombs everywhere. Let's move to verse 16. Do you not know, Paul said, that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. All right, Paul is going to use for the rest of our time a metaphor or an analogy that to them was a no-duh statement, the one that they knew backward and forward, and that is slavery. In the first century AD, the Roman Empire approximately had 50 million people. One-fifth were slave. They came from four different areas. You could be born into slavery. You could be a prisoner of war. You could sell yourself into debt, or you could be a criminal. Those are the main things. 10 million slaves. Most of Christianity started, had a high population of slaves that were involved in Christianity because they were the lower class, right? So he said, all right, can we just use slavery as an analogy? It's going to sound a little funky, a little clunky as we're talking about these spiritual things, but he's trying to talk in a way they can understand. Paul is brilliant at context. So he's going to try to dumb it down for them. So we're going to try to pull this apart. Here's what he said. You guys know that if you consistently have to obey something, you're a slave to it, right? I mean, for good or bad. That's all he said. If you consistently have to say yes to something, it owns you. Let's talk about addiction, right? Slave to the addiction if the addiction tells you what you can or can't do today, how you can or can't handle your life. If self is your primary driver in life, that you always say yes to your plans, you are a slave to self. He said, so it could be bad. If you do it in the sin way, it's gonna lead to death. If you do it in the obedience way to God, it's gonna lead to life. So let's talk about this for a moment. Every one of us serves someone. We are all under the influence or power of something or someone. The whole idea that we are independent people doing our own thing, making our own choices is a fallacy. It's not real. Here's why. We are too limited, too fragile, and there's too many big dogs in the game. So, for example, question for you. Who is older and smarter, you or Satan? He can play you at any time in any way. Why? He has watched billions of you. Figure it out. He knows this stuff backwards and forwards. You are not hard to manipulate. You're very easy to manipulate because he is the master of watching over the human race. Now, here's another one. Who is more creative and wise, God or you? God. Okay, so in other words, we're not even players in this, right? We are little dirt bags on a speck in the world of specks in the universe. You understand what I'm talking about? And we're like, oh, I'm a big deal. You're not a big deal, right? You're only a big deal because God loves you so much. That's why you think you're a big deal. I'm just, this whole idea of an arrogance in humanity is silliness. Just back up the camera for a moment and you realize, I'm sorry, you're bragging about what? Oh, look, I took away your air. You died. Okay, so no, we're not that big of a deal. We're not that big and tough. So we're all owned by somebody or moved by somebody. The question is never, am I independent? The question of whose team am I aligned with? Who's playing me? Who's giving me opportunities? Who's the one leading me? Either it's God or it's gonna be someone else. And I wanna talk about that for a moment. At the end of the day, what it's gonna look like is that it's God or self. Notice that in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came up to Eve, he came up, that's Satan in snake form. When he came up, he didn't say, hey, you should worship me. You should worship snakes. He knew that was not gonna go well. So what he did was he came up with a different plan. Hey, you are being held out on by God. Man, you need to look out for number one. You gotta look out for you. Like, I'm just here to help. Did you see that? What a lie, right? Worship yourself. Why? Because he knows if you worship yourself, you're gonna separate from God, and that's all he wanted. It's still a win for him. The other thing that's interesting is Paul just said, if you continue on the way of sin, you're gonna die. What's the problem with that? Most Americans do not believe that. They're like, I was sinning last week, I'm fine. I was sinning today, I'm cool. So I'm not gonna die. Okay, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Does anybody remember when the snake came up to her, he was like, hey, what's up with this tree thing? And she's like, yeah, I don't know. We're not supposed to touch it. God said if we touch it, we'll die. He's like, yeah, I don't think that's true. He's like, as a matter of fact, what's it called? Well, it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How can knowledge be bad? That's so weird. Like, why does God not want you to be smarter? What, he just needs you to be dumb and like held down? I mean, is that what he's trying to do? I mean, that's weird. Don't you think he's kind of a power trip guy? Like, I mean, because here's the deal. What if, let me just say, you do eat it and your eyes are open. Don't you want more for you? Has he ever changed this trick? Has he ever used a different analogy than this? Has he ever used a different temptation? Why change it when it always works? Right? So we just keep throwing the same thing out. Because here's what's interesting. God did say you will surely die if you eat of the fruit. She ate the fruit and didn't die. Is God wrong? Nope, because he was talking about something so high, so big, so important, they were talking way down on a base level. He was not talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death and eternal death. The moment they ate that fruit, they wrecked humanity. At the moment they ate that fruit, they spiraled our universe into chaos. The moment they ate that fruit, they separated from God. And God said, "Do you understand what you've done? This is leading you to death. I now will have to jump in and save you because you will die." But here's the thing. In the world today, you try to tell somebody in America, "Hey man, I think you need Jesus in your life." They're gonna go, "I don't think I do. I feel like I'm a pretty good person. I feel like I'm pretty dialed. I feel like I got my stuff going on." And you're like, "Oh, you got a sin problem." Whatever, dude. I'm more moral than you are. What are you talking about? I don't need this stuff. I don't need an extra thing in my life. I'm fine. No. There, at the end of the world, where are you going to go in your afterlife? You're going to die. No, I'm not. Look, I've been sinning and I'm not dying. Is God wrong? No. There's something bigger coming. There are ramifications. And that was Paul's point. Pick it up in verse 17. "But thanks be to God," Paul says, "that you," meaning Christians, "who were once slaves to sin, have actually become obedient to the Lord from the heart, to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you've become actually, in my analogy, slaves to righteousness." I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. "For just as you once presented your body as slaves to sin or impurity and to lawlessness," which only led to more lawlessness, "so in a similar way, now that you're different, present your bodies as slaves to righteousness, which will lead you to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness." All right, again, written clunky, written awkward. Here's all he said. He said, "Guys, pretty simple. When you didn't know Jesus, what'd you do?" "I don't know, I just did whatever I wanted to do." Cool, okay, so you live for you, right? And you live for you for two reasons. Number one, you were ignorant there was anything else. You can't know what you can't know. So you weren't living for God, right? Well, no, I didn't even know God was a thing. Okay, cool, so you live for you because you were ignorant. But when you did get to a place where you realized there are some rules out there in the universe, but you really wanted to do it, you chose to do it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So in other words, you were ignorant and you trespassed or did wrong, right? Okay, so you chose and also had a normal bent. All right, cool, let's use those same two premises. Now that you're with Jesus, you've been purified, given a new identity, and you are a new creation in the Lord, and you have the Holy Spirit, now you have a new bent internally to do what is right. Stop hijacking it. Let God lead you right. And when you do have a choice to do something good, choose it. Just like you used to say, "Man, that's probably bad for me, huh? I'm gonna do it anyway." How about now you look and you go, "Hey, that would probably be good for me. I should do it." He's like, do you understand it's two sides of the same coin? Once you're transformed, lean into your bent with the Lord, as opposed to telling God no. Let him do his work. And when you can choose to do good, choose to do good. That's all I'm trying to say. You got a new nature. All right, so I want to talk for a moment about this whole idea of just as you used to live actively for self, now actively live for God and righteousness. Sometimes what we like to look at is we go, what one big decision can I make to be a good guy or a good lady? Here's the truth. It is thousands of small decisions that make you a good man or a woman. There is power in the everyday decisions. There is power in saying yes to all the little things. There is a power to shaping your habit patterns to trigger yes to God. And I get it. There's sometimes you have to do the big temptation. But more often than not, we got to do the daily temptations. Today, am I going to live for me or am I going to live for him? Today, where am I going to let my mind sit? Today, am I going to choose hope or choose despair? Today, it's the power of the thousands of small decisions that reshape our hearts towards the Lord. That's how we change. Here we go. Let me see if I missed anything. Oh, let's go to verse 21. He said, so let's be practical. What fruit were you getting at that time before Jesus from the things to which you're now ashamed of? At the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin, now that you've become slaves of God, in my analogy, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and in its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's all he said. Guys, if we're trying to figure out how we ought to live our lives, let's do a quick review. When you were not living for Jesus, how'd that go for you? Good? Because here's the embarrassing part. Y'all have a whole bunch of regret and things that you're ashamed of. That was not working for you. So why would we want to do more of that? Shouldn't we do something else? And again, what are possible outcomes of not doing it God's way? Here's a list that I wrote down. Broken marriages, STDs, unwanted pregnancies, addictions, estrangement from family, broken trust, lost jobs, financial ruin, regret, PTSD, prison record, demonic bondage, and the list goes on. That's what you get. Why? Because that's the way of self. It's where you go. You're going to get played. But again, one of our struggles in trying to minister in modern day America is most Americans believe they're good people. Better than their Christian neighbors. And that confuses it because if we continue to sell that Christianity is a way to lead a better life, we miss the boat. Because they're going to go, actually, the more I look at your life, I like my life better. We are not Christians just because it makes us healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. Prosperous. That's what I was trying to say. I don't know what prosperous is, but close. Thank you, Roni. I appreciate that. We are Christians because we were built to be with God. We're Christians because he rescued us. We're Christians because everything inside of us, deep down, our systems only come online when we're connected to him. We're Christians because the reality is there's something more real than this world, and it's called the spiritual realm. And we need to be right there if we're going to be right anywhere. We are Christians because God is real, and we want to glorify him. We are Christians because it's a very DNA built into us by God to be. That's why we're Christians. We're not Christians because, oh, it got me more friends. It's not, whoa, I became a Christian because it allowed me to have no more problems and God fixes everything. That's not true. We're Christians because it's right. It's what we were built for. It's who we are. That's why we're Christians. So I think in our nation, we are wrestling because of a couple problems. One of them is that we have a Christian nation hangover that we are raised in Judeo-Christian principles. And so we have these consciences that talk about right and wrong. And a lot of Christians are moral. But again, morality is not the whole point, right? But they would say, I don't need God. Here's the other thing. You know what else is ruining America, in my opinion? Praying grandmas. Praying grandmas are ruining America. Why? Because we make a bunch of bad choices, and we should have severe consequences, right? And we should wreck our lives, and we should go down the tubes. But all of a sudden, grandma steps in, and grandma prayers are different level. All of a sudden, her and God start coming up with new answers, and she starts praying, and all of a sudden, your life turns around, and somebody comes to you, and they go, man, you were going down a bad path. You're like, yeah, I don't know. It just worked out. No, it didn't. Your grandma prayed you through. Now you think it's not a big deal. Praying grandmas are dangerous. They're wrecking our America. Taking away consequences from children. What is happening to you? The result, honestly, for a variety of reasons, is I guess I don't need God. And that breaks my heart, you know, because they're going to go, I do a lot of good stuff. Do you understand that if you don't do good stuff for the right reasons, it doesn't count? Right? I think a lot of people that don't know the Lord do a lot of great things. There's a lot of benevolence. There's a lot of charity. There's a lot of philanthropy. There's a lot of amazing things. Here's the problem. You don't get credit from God for it. Why? Because God didn't need more good stuff. He needed more good people. And so what he's looking for, because Christianity is relational, what he's looking for is us to do things for God and with God. If you're not doing it for God and with God, it doesn't count. But when you know him, your motivation changes. I want to do what is right because God has shown me a different way, and I want to honor my Lord, and I want to love on the people around me. That's the right way. That's what counts. He said, at the end of the day, the wages of sin is death. If you want to know what we deserve, what we're going to earn, there you go. The wages, you work for it, now you get it. The wages of living for self is separation from God. But notice, the flip side is not earning anything. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, you can't earn eternal life. He either gives it to you or he doesn't give to you. What we earn is only death. What we are given is life. That's the loving God. Because he's doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Can I have the prayer team come on up here? Let's close this out. I think we make life and Christianity a bit too confusing. What God has tried to do is dumb it down. Hey, kids, stop hurting yourself. Stop hurting each other. Yeah, but I know. And part of the problem, kiddo, is that you're not doing any of the healthy, good stuff, and you really need the bad stuff too much. Can we work on that? And because I don't think any of us want regret. Nobody sets out to go, I'm going to be an addict today. I think most of us become addicts because we're trying to compensate for the hurts inside. And instead of letting God heal it, we go, I got this, get your hand off my life. Again, you're not gonna get judgment from me. I'm another human being. And if I was in your shoes, I'd probably do what you'd do. So you're not getting judgment from me, but you are gonna get correction from the Lord because I got it too. And he's going, kid, I appreciate that you're out there trying to kill it for me. I appreciate you're doing that 85. What I'm saying is there's 15% you're still keeping for you. Am I ever going to get in that part? So don't mishear me. I got a long way to go. Right? We all do. So again, this isn't a top-down thing. We're all in the same boat together. Let's go out and do it different. Amen? Amen? Yeah, praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to your ways. We say yes to your plans. That, Lord, would you shower upon us awareness? Would you allow us to see the wisdom of your choices, your decisions, your guidelines, your rules? Would you allow us to understand that holy living is not for you to crush fun? It is for you to design health. So, Lord, I just pray that we would have that repentance of mind, a re-altering to see it from your vantage point and say, yep, we agree. So, Lord, may we walk out of this place longing to please you, longing to do what is valuable in our lives, longing to avoid regret, longing to be faithful men and women, longing to love one another and not harm one another. May we be those beautiful people you designed us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful weekend.